Know. Live. Transform. This is 702. This is 702. For the curious.
For the curious indeed, it's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock this evening. My name is Clement Magnatella in for Karima Brown. Let's reflect on President Cyril Ramaphosa's reply to the State of the Nation address debate in Parliament today. Like, he touched on a number of issues, didn't he? Including the claim made by COB leader Musiwa Lekota that the president sold out freedom fighters. He also touched on Eskom and also reflected on the new investigating directorate that he announced during his State of the Nation address. And joining us in this conversation is political analyst Professor Somadota Fikeni. Good evening, Prof. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and greetings to your listeners.
So first up, the president reacted to the claims by COB leader Musiwa Lekota. It was an emotional response, wasn't it?
It was, as it would be expected to be, because I doubt he would have expected, even on the eve of election, when people would want to use everything, that Lekota would come with this one. And more so because an accusation of being a spy or enemy agent is one very difficult thing to disprove or even to prove. You just leave whatever shadow hanging on somebody's head and you move on. But at the same time, though, if you begin to consider the fact that Nelson Mandela has been painted by the same brush, where people said he's a project of the West, or there is this giant conspiracy, Sobukwe of late, Steve Biko, they used to say he was the enemy agent or CIA project, Peter Mokaba and so forth. So increasingly, because the bar has been so lowered in the use of the notion of enemy agent, it has pretty much lost much of the meaning to be of great concern.
Is it the timing, Prof? I mean, we're heading to elections, because some argue this is a tired political tactic. As you say, it's also been used to paint some former leaders, in fact, with this bad brush. So as irresponsible as it is untrue if it's found to be untrue, but people have often accused their opponents of being apartheid agents, so it isn't a sensitive issue. Is it the timing of the political timing in the country that's pushing people to start making these claims?
The timing is quite suspicious, so close to elections, and also the gift which was giving the opposition all the opportunity, which was President Jacob Zuma, because he was an easy target. Now opposition is forced very often to change the strategy, and some are scrambling. You have seen Mr. Lekota on the issue of land going to the extent of embracing the AfriForum and doing the revisionist history of saying the land was never stolen and so forth. I do think that it is mainly because of elections, where parties and leaders want to have some profile by all means necessary, whether it's claim of corruption, which they might have received from somewhere, knowing that it will take longer to prove that beyond elections, or this one of saying people are enemy agents.
Yeah. It's interesting also because, and I don't know if you remember this, Prof, but in 2005, Musiwa Lekota was also accused of having been a spy of the apartheid regime. And at the time, he was defense minister, and he was equally aggrieved by that. So it's interesting to see him make almost similar comments against President Cyril Ramaphosa. But I want us to move to another important, in fact, topic that the president touched on today, and that's on Eskom. And I have to say that it was to many people's disappointment, because South Africans were expecting an announcement, because yesterday he said he would announce measures to save Eskom, and he has only announced a special cabinet committee, really, which will be led by Deputy President David Mabuza, looking at the crisis at Eskom. But before we get into that, let's take a listen to what the president had to say in Parliament today.
While restructuring Eskom won't solve the immediate electricity supply crisis, it will position the company to more effectively meet the country's energy needs into the future. It will also help us in simplifying management. But more importantly, it will also enable funders to better assess the risk and opportunity and open space for new investment in generation capacity on an urgent basis.
Was it a missed opportunity, Prof, by the President to take South Africans into his confidence, or do you think the announcement of this cabinet committee was enough? I mean, we already have a task team that he appointed last year.
I don't think it was enough. It might just be a question of government or leaders who do not yet know what to do. Therefore, making announcements about the task teams, the committees to look into this matter is merely to take off the pressure and buy time, because there is no clear strategy, because even the unbundling of Eskom doesn't actually speak to the core thing. Will we have cheap, quality, reliable and sustained supply of energy? That's the main thing. If you unbundle, that may answer some efficiencies or some governance issues, but it doesn't answer that main question. Even the debate around retrenchment or non-retrenchment, privatization or non-privatization, has not touched on that particular issue of whether we will have clean, cheap, reliable, energy supply.
I mean, what does that tell us then, Prof, about how government is looking at this crisis at Eskom? Do you think there's a realization that the country is in a crisis, you know, a realization by government on Eskom? Because the president yesterday was telling reporters that he'll be announcing some measures, and he failed to do that today. And you do rightly say there that what he announced today was certainly not enough. Or is he trying to be safe and play safe, because you already have unions opposing some of the announcements he's made on dealing and with the crisis at Eskom and rescuing this power utility?
Indeed, I do think that he has that dilemma, because the unions had been one of the strongest supporters and key constituency in his ascendance to power, and he is from that union background. And at the same time, he has the pressure to say, can he buck the trend and make sure that there is a decisive intervention? Yes, consulting with the unions, consulting with the business sector and other role players. To me, one of the key things, which is a very simple matter, can we afford to have one role player in energy supply, given the fact that you have centralized the risk? China does have state-owned entities, but it sometimes, creates several of these entities so that when A fails, the other one can pick up, or there is even competition to some degree. That in itself has not been addressed in this debate. And the problem here is not only the government, but perhaps the entire leadership across, where you do not seem to have any sense of convergence to say, we may differ on any other thing, but let's have four or five issues that define our national interests, which will then create an agenda. Even if we may differ on the models and approaches, that doesn't exist. Everything is partisan. Everything is sectoral. Everybody is speaking from their own standpoint. How will my constituency gain? And that is not how you save a country facing such a deep crisis.
But how complicated is it, and just lastly, Prof, for the president to deal with this issue, given that we are, 2 months away from the national elections? And you don't want to upset the unions. Already we're seeing the National Union of Mine Workers coming out and saying if he goes ahead with this plan to unbundle Eskom into these three entities, he certainly must be guaranteed, even the ANC, that this union won't be supporting this governing party in the upcoming elections. But I suppose also Is it just, I suppose, a mere threat? Because obviously the unbundling process wouldn't be completed this year. I mean, we're talking about legislation that must be formulated. There's a long process that must still be in place before Eskom can be unbundled into these three entities. So are the unions really serious with their threat to withdraw their support of the ANC?
I doubt that would be the case. It will simply force the ANC into greater consultation on the matter. But even the unions themselves might be having their own politics. Remember that for too long, COSATU has lost its membership because it was said it became too much of an attachment to the ANC and was too obsessed with the ANC leadership battles rather than the workers in the constituency. So they might be trying to flex their muscle and try to impress on the workers to say, we will fight for your rights. So there are internal constituencies they are speaking to, not necessarily to the bigger issue. Because even here, if the president says this will not be privatized and the unbundling will not even lead to job losses, that was the primary cry of the unions. But still they say unbundling, it's more like a swear word. Without saying unbundling in this particular manner leads to the following. These are the cases elsewhere that were found. So I find the debate on all sides not as deep, not as incisive as it should be. And unfortunately, whilst there is this particular debate, we may sink into a deeper crisis because elections are around the corner, decisions may be delayed, consultations may never end, and one day we may have a total blackout.
Look, thank you so much for your time. Political analyst, Professor Somadota Fikeni. No, live.